if you can hear what I say to you. Can you hear me?
Peter, here.
Oh, yeah? Do I need it?
Yes.
No.
Yes. No, yes.
It's the people behind you.
I didn't find it. This is a typical 99%, not a New Yorker, seems to be a New Yorker, the way he has his feet planted in those industrial complexes there. But he is a 99% peasant from the Middle Ages, from the years 1439, 1443. He and his colleagues, the other 99% peasants, fought very successful battles against the knights, against the aristocracy in those years. And they beat the, whatever you call it, out of them. This discovery that you can take pitchforks and spades and manure rakes and rake them off their horses and then finish them off that way.
Yeah.
And these were battles that seemed to be the start of a big peasant revolution in Europe. And they happened in the Upper Rhine Valley, in the Black Forest, and what they call Alsace now, that area. And they counted about, in some of these battles, they counted 2,000 men and 800 women fighting the knights. Successful. There were several battles where this worked. So it's recommendable to remember that. Unfortunately, when Luther came about and the rest of the reformers with their reformation, the revolution was betrayed by those giants of the reformation, Zwingli, Luther and others. And the peasants were all tortured and strung up on trees and beheaded and whatever. And that was the end of the chance of a major social revolution in Europe that then didn't happen till the communist revolution.
And that's why I'm going to play a little song for you now.
Salesian song from where I am from. It's very short. And therefore, I will now take you to the next room and show you the rest of this. The show is called the Shatterer of Worlds. That is a term from the Bhagavad Gita that Oppenheimer, the chief architect of the atomic bomb, remembered at the moment when he watched the first explosion in the desert. And it goes like this. Life, the splendor of a thousand suns blazing all at once, resembling the exalted soul, is become death, the shadow of worlds. And that's the title of this show and of other shows we did during the last 2 years and that we feel obliged to probably do much longer. I wonder why. I cannot figure out. Because of this, I want to be more in the next room. We wouldn't mind coming in. I can play my...
Yeah.
chat about politics and history, which is the 30 years war that destroyed Europe pretty entirely. I think about 3/4 of the population of Europe disappeared. It was the war from about 1618 to 48, and it especially devastated the area where I am from, Silesia. I'm a Silesian. But because of that war, Silesia produced an amazing amount of unbelievable poetry during that period, and seemingly directly connected to the horrors of that elimination and war. And one of these, there are many very remarkable poets in that time, but let me single out this one. I painted a lot about him because he's not known in the room. His name is Kirill Schulman, and he died in Moscow. He was burned at the stake in 1469 or somewhere around there. And sorry, in 1669. So he's one of these Baroque poets, 17th century. Angelus Silesius, you may have heard of him. Andreas Gryphius, I don't know. So there's nothing comparable in German literature to that period. And just typical poem by Mr. Quirinus Kuhlmann. Also, grace, courage, fame, lovely, smart, joke, spirit, soul, friend, love, fame, peace, fun, praise, must all part. Ah, that's it. You want another one?
Yes.
Okay, over there.
So his poems were lists?
The marksman, man, diligence, effort, art, play, ship, mouse, prince, revenge, sorrow, greed, truthfulness, and God, seek, gold, sleep, price, praise, flavor, quarrel, wine, kiss, throne, murder, coffin, money, grace, and gratefulness. Ha! 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 That's for a little Silesian folk song. All right. Here is more of Quirinus Kuhlmann. The moon, embers, smoke, goat, fish, gold, pearl, tree, flame, stork, frog, lamb, ox, and stomach. Love, gleam, straw, mist, mountain, flood, glow, foam, fruit, ash, roof, pond, field, meadow, and bread. Well, that's why I'm baking bread. No other reason. Yeah. That's his poetry. Oh, this is the last of, I came here once a month
to give tours through this exhibit. But right now I see a few people here who helped me make this exhibit. Larissa is here, and she arranged for it. And Jonathan is here, where is he? And Peter Hamburger, and Mr. and Mrs. Anonymous are not here, I wonder why. And so this was an effort of quite a few of us, puppeteer friends, who put this together. Took about, I forget how long, 2-3 weeks, something like this. And that's the flag of the peasants, of the 99% from the 15th century. They put the boot into their flag. The peasant shit kicker boot was the symbol of that revolution. So that's why it's up there above your heads, to remind you of the possibility of such uprisings. Good. Now we go to the chapel. That's what they do in Silesia after 6 o'clock in the evening. This is the chapel of the Shadow of Worlds. This is a library of sorts. There are lots of books here. It's hard to explain. You have to read into the books. You have to read them and then see what you get out of them. These are mostly how-to books to honor this giant market of, what's it called, of... But self-help books. So in order to know how to do sneezing or farting or whatever it is, it's all in those books. And they are recommended for closer inspection. Wait, I want to take out the paper. Can you hold my film? Mm-hmm. I want to read you some of the things. You hold the mic. I wonder what it says here about this. And this is a sheet of paper that you can pick up at the front there. And it says here about the chapel. In the chapel you find the high up saints. See these? Up there, this is Saint You and Saint Nobody and Saint Whoever. They're all there. And they are built into bread cradles, disemployed and unemployed. Bread cradles are things that you put your loaves in to make them rise before you bake them. So these are the ones that I don't need anymore. And what is else remarkable here? The minimal houses, or these custom tailored habitats that you see here in front of you. Let me see, where are they?
They're underneath.
Yeah, representing the 80,000 solitary confinements in the U.S. In the prison system. The U.S. happens to be the largest prison system in the world. So it needs to be honored somehow. Ladders. Upward directed, good. Chairs ready to fix humans into folded up thinking positions. especially in relationship to these houses there. Long-legged word owners and word prisoners that are supervising the library books here, hovering over the library's oversized how-to books in response to the Hampel Republic, the Hampelmen. I forgot to point them out to you. The Hampelmen are two-dimensional citizens, much more representative of the system we live in than any of us have a chance to ever be. So those are the good ones, the good citizens. Now is the question of the what are they hovering over there? The oversized self-help books with their shallow meaningfulness, and they have the purpose to hide the heart of the matter. The little books and their three reasons for being little are hidden by the big books in there. Here are the reasons for little books. We need little books because the big ones have either seduced us or didn't succeed to make us sufficiently skeptical towards our oversized humanity enterprise. The big ones have convinced us powerful, never mind of what, simply by their volume. And the power of their conviction has consequently marched power through history all the way to its ruin. It still continues to march. And secondly, big books are products, and like all products, aim to achieve completeness, which implies a race from tentative to finalized. Little books don't have that ambition. They try to get away with the same amount of indecision and imperfection that characterizes normality. So, and therefore, they are recommended to you. Good. Now I have to play another Salesian folk song.
Yes.
If you hold this.
Salesian library song.
You hold this. A Salesian library song. Good idea.
Chairs, library chairs.
Here's a Salesian library song. Good. I hope I remember one. Da 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 da. Thank you very much. Now I will help to take white paint and paint over the big Shatterer picture because it has to be made available for other muralists.
Oh, oh so the big one?
Give me a bucket of paint.
No, when does it come down, Peter? You have to paint that over now?
No.
No, but the show stays up till the 30th.
Till the end of this month.
Oh, okay.
Is this your last appearance today?
Yeah.
This is it.
Now comes the bread. That's the important part.
Yeah.
Let me describe to you the bread. So this is a sourdough rye bread. When you go to Austria, to Poland, all over Russia, all the eastern parts of Germany, Pomerania, East Prussia, all these parts. Then the Alpine countries, Austria, Bavaria, all those things where wheat is disadvantaged because it needs very good fertilization to grow wheat. And so the Alpine regions or sandy regions of soil or long winters and so forth are no good for wheat, so rye gets grown there. So in those countries, you don't even call that rye bread. You call that bread, pasta. And the white bread is called cake or something like bread. But it's not taken serious. It's just, it tastes sort of nice on Sundays. But the other one is the real thing. So my sourdough rye is from an old 150-year-old sourdough. And it's you keep it going all the time. And Larissa was so nice to get me 400 bricks, and I built an oven outside, and I baked it. I made fire this morning at 10 o'clock, and then it for 2.5 hours. You let the fire go, let the embers sit a little bit in the bricks. Then you wash out the oven and throw the loaves in there.
Mm.
And then you hope for the best.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to check it out. Now, let's check it out.
Let's check it out.
It's a different
one. I wonder if it was anything.
Henry.
I learned this from you.